2 Timothy chapter number 2. Preached a message a while back out of this same piece of scripture on being a soldier for Christ. And we've came back to it this morning out of a different thought and a different verse. But I believe Paul was writing to young Timothy to make him understand that troublesome times lay ahead. And I really believe this morning, if there's one thing I need to tell the church, is trouble is on the horizon. And storms are on their way. And problems are going to come in our life. And problems are going to come in our church. And it's our place to handle those problems correctly. And Paul was writing to young Timothy as a preacher and telling him, be faithful, be true, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort, and all that there in 1 Timothy. And then we come into Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want you to get a hold of what Paul was writing this morning. And verse number 10, he says, therefore, I endure all things for elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul told Timothy in verse number 10, he says, I do all things to preach Christ. He said, I do all things to see people saved. That ought to be our motto every day that we live our life, is that we could be a testimony to somebody to be born again. He comes into verse number 11. He said, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Verse number 13, he says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day and God, this opportunity to be here one more time. And Lord, to stand in this sacred, holy place behind this pulpit, the sacred desk of God, and open up the precious bread of life and try to help your children. God, what an honor it is to be here this morning. And God, what an honor it is to be in this sanctuary with these good people. And Lord, I realize there's some here this morning, Lord, that may be doubting their salvation, or Lord, they may be here and never been born again. God, I pray for your mercy and your grace to abound upon this place. And God, they'd find themselves as a sinner in need of a Savior. And God, I realize in these days you're still changing lives. And God, you're still saving the sinners. And Lord, I pray for a touch of glory upon this place. God, I need your help this morning more than I ever have. And God, I need your sweet love and favor as we've tried to open your word. And God, I'm flesh and I can't do this without you. And Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I love you this morning. Thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated this morning. But let me say this. As we've came in to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 10, we see Paul writing to the church here this morning. And there's some things I want you to get a hold of as Paul was writing to Timothy. He was encouraging a young minister in the Lord. I find in our church this morning, young people, older people, maybe that has not been in the house of God before. Maybe they've never came to church before. And maybe they've never been partaking in the things that they're seeing before them. But let me say this to you this morning. I found one of the flaws in our church. And that's, we can get people saved, but once they get saved, they don't know what to do. And we drop them in and give them a Bible and say, here you go. Might I tell you, Paul was taking time to train young Timothy. We as Christians need to find those that may be saved, but have never been trained in instruct them and teach them how to do the work of God. And might I say to you this morning, I'm glad that God is faithful. I'm going to be honest with you. Me as a preacher, I'm going to fail you. I'm going to say something that's going to come across wrong. When you really need me, I may not be there. And I found out, Brother Junior, that Paul was writing to Timothy because he knew later in verse chapter number 4, in verse number 10, he was recording that for Demas hath forsaken me. He said, having loved the present world, and he has departed in Thessalonica. He says, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatians. Paul knew what it was like to be by himself. I don't know about you this morning, but I often find myself by myself, alone, without anybody around. And I'll be honest with you, some of your preachers this morning, as a preacher, you'll often feel secluded from the rest of the the group. People won't want to associate as much with you or get as close to you due to the fact that they're ashamed of maybe what they're doing or ashamed of how they live or ashamed of what you may see in their house. I'll be honest with you, there's times as a preacher, Brother Robert, I feel like I'm all alone with nobody around. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I'll just shoot straight with you and tell you this. We often come and confide to the preacher or we confide to a friend. But let me tell you, there's times that I can't confide in anybody. You be honest this morning. There's times where you as a person can't confide in anybody about an issue you're dealing with. And Paul was telling Timothy, he says, I adore this to see people saved. He comes into verse number 11. He says, it is a faithful saying. He said, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. He says, if we die in Christ, we'll live with Christ. Now, that's as true this morning as it's ever been. If you're here born again this morning, when you die, it's not time to say goodbye. It's only time I'll see you later. Because if you're born again and your family's born again, they will see you again. Paul says in verse number 12, he said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And what he's saying by that, he says, when you're persecuted, when you're afflicted, and when you're in bondage, and when you're persecuted against, people are turning against you, you also shall reign with him. Isn't it good to know this morning that this ain't our heaven? I'm going to be honest with you, I feel sorry. And I'll just go ahead and say, I feel sorry, Brother Kenny, for the Jehovah's Witness this morning. They honestly believe that for some of them, this is their heaven. That this is as good as it's going to get. I was speaking to one not long ago, and I had on a two-year conversation with him. And he was talking about the 144,000 being sealed. I said, boy, it sure would be bad to live in this life and know that I never see my Savior. He said, what do you mean, preacher? I said, well, what you're telling me is right now you can live any way you want to live. You ain't got to worry about going to hell. You ain't got to worry about going to heaven. But why in the world would you take on the bondage of being saved if you weren't going to go to heaven? And he said, I don't know, I ain't never thought of it that way. I said, I'm glad I have a hope. I'm glad that, Brother Tommy, when the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, I'm just getting translated from here to God. And I'm glad this morning that knowing that if I suffer with him, I shall also reign with him. Paul then goes on to say this, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Have you ever wondered why the preacher encouraged you, if you made a profession of faith, to stand up and tell the church what God's done for you? The Bible teaches us that if we'll deny him, he'll deny us before the Father. Paul recorded to Timothy that if we deny him, he's going to deny us also. He says, if you're not proud enough to say you're one of his, he's not going to accept you into where he's at. And then we come down into verse number 13. The Bible says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Paul was writing to Timothy, he says, even when the world doesn't believe him, he still exists. Would you agree with me this morning, and let's agree together, Brother Tommy, that the world does not believe there is a God? Would you accept this morning that, Brother Joe, that they're trying to teach us that there is not a God? I've got good news this morning. Though you say he's not real, though you choose to live your life the way you do, though you reject Christ Monday through Saturday but come in on Sunday morning, though you pass him over, you cannot live your life believing he does not exist. Even if you do, he still exists. Might I tell you this morning, they might tell you he's not real just because they do. Does not mean that he does not exist. And Paul was telling Timothy, he said, for all those who don't believe in him, for all those who don't believe in the Word of God, for all those who don't believe that Christ came and lived a sinless life, and they reject that, doesn't change the fact that he did come. And then he says this, in a few little words in verse 13, he said, he abideth faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but that does something for me this morning. Brother Joe, that does something on the inside, just those few words. He abideth faithful. I'm going to help you this morning by the help of the Lord, and I want to preach to you on this thought. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. I'm just going to be as honest with you as I can. In the shape that our country's in today and the situation that our nation's in today, God ought to wipe America off the map. With the lifestyles we got going on, Brother Chuck, God ought to just go ahead and clean house like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. He ought to just go ahead and rain down fire and brimstone in the country we live in today. But I'm glad this morning, though this state reject the notion of Christ, though they reject the teaching of Christ, though they reject his purpose, and though they reject his salvation, he still abides faithful to America. Though we are in the wicked shape we in, we are still in a country of the land and the free. Though we are as wicked as we are, he is still blessing our churches in this day and age. And though we are wicked and vile, as unclean as could be, Brother Odin, his spirit is still moving in our churches in this day and age. And though we are worthy to deserve and die and go to hell, he is still saving sinners this morning. I'm glad this morning that even though we believe not in him, and even though the world rejects him, is God still faithful to his people? I got to examining that this morning, and I found some places in the Bible where God is faithful. I've got five examples this morning, and I'm going to try to give them to you as quick as I can. Proverbs 18 and 24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. I'm going to use this for this morning. One thing I look at my little youngin' is, she don't know a stranger. I'll be honest with you, she don't know a stranger. Now, if you got a big bushy beard, she ain't ever seen you before, you're Bigfoot. Get away from her. Amen. Brother Robert, you're Sasquatch back there. Amen. Brother Robert's the only one I've seen that my little daughter over the past 11 months would go to and play in his beard. You let another man come in with a bushy beard at mom and daddy's house Friday evening. My cousin walked in. She hadn't seen him since about 2 weeks old. He walked in with a big bushy beard, scared that young and slapped to death. But you let somebody come in who she's seen before. You let her be around a group of people just a little while, and it won't be long she'll be smiling at them. I honestly believe this morning, Brother Tommy, she's going to be like her daddy. My wife was talking the other day, and she said, you're the only person I know to strike up a conversation with a brick wall. Amen. I can. I have that ability to be friends or to associate with somebody or to acknowledge them and have a friendship with them. And Proverbs was recording this. Solomon wrote this. He said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You say, nobody wants to sit around me in church. Nobody wants to associate with me. Nobody invites me to go out to eat. Nobody wants to come over to my house and see how I'm doing. When's the last time you smiled at anybody? Go ahead, preacher, that's all right. When's the last time you went out of your way to walk up to somebody with a smile on your face and say, hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad to see you this morning. Have you had a good week? Hey, if you sat there this morning bitter and sour, hey, I promise you nobody will associate with you. I don't know about you, but I like to be around happy people. I like to associate those that have joy. Now, if you're going to be all negative and you're going to criticize everything, I might spend a little while alone with you and then I'm going to go on to somebody else. I realize our church needs a lot of work. I realize we got a lot of issues, but praise God, God has blessed us in our issues. But he doesn't stop there. In Proverbs, he said, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, who was Solomon writing about? We understand this morning that Solomon could have been seen as one of the most wickedest men during the Old Testament era. Some preachers this morning would blast even this thought, but God used Solomon to rebuild the temple that he had promised his dad. And God had promised that Solomon, he would give him wisdom. And you say, well, preacher, Solomon fell off in the end of his life. And he got attracted to so many women. And he had so many wives and so many concubines. How in the world could you use his scripture to associate with God being faithful? Solomon realized that even when your brother forsook you, even though your mom and dad forsook you, even though you was cast aside, he realized they was one. They're still abiding closer than any family could. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. If you want to see a family split and divided, let mom and daddy die and have a bunch of property and the will get read. I tell you this much, you let somebody die that ain't got a will, and there's a brother and a sister in a family, there'll be more fighting and bickering and arguing over materialistic things that would cause their mom and daddy to roll over in their grave. Y'all right? Money will separate a family. But Solomon realized that there was one who was faithful. Number two this morning, or let's look in Luke chapter number 12 real quickly this morning. I'm going to help y'all real quickly if you'll just listen to me. Luke chapter number 12, and I'm going to read you a couple of verses this morning, and I'm going to bust some of your bubbles this morning. I didn't mark it in mine, so I'm chasing it down with you. But look with me in verse number 51. Jesus says this. He says, suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth. Boy, we like to go to the Beatitudes and read the scripture, blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. We like that. Now, I want you to realize something this morning. Jesus said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. He says, I tell you nay, but rather division. He says, you got this in your mind that I'm come to make us a great, united, happy family? He says, you got it in your head, Brother Robert, that I'm going to bring peace on this earth? He says, but nay, I'm come to bring division. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Brother Rye, would you agree with me this morning that in our school systems, in our home standards, and even on the job site, at the name of Jesus, you will hurt somebody and cause a big stir? I seen something on news this week, and I agreed with it, but also think something else should have been done. There was a couple out to eat, and some of you may have seen this on the news, but a couple was out to eat, or it was actually three women was out to eat, and their waitress was one of the homosexuals and in the movement, and they realized this, and they wrote down a piece of scripture out of Leviticus for the tip and put it at the bottom of the scripture, and they said, we're praying for you, and didn't leave her a tip. They should have left her a tip. If she did her job, you should have tipped her and went on. But they left a piece of scripture where the tip amount was. It was out of the book of Leviticus. I think it was 23 and 10 right off the top of my head. But what the scripture basically says, paraphrasing it, is if a man lieth with a man like he lieth with a woman, it's an abomination before the Lord. And both shall be stoned to death. And the little waitress was all upset, said, how in the world could somebody that say they're a Christian leave such a hateful message? Let me help right here real quick. They didn't leave a hateful message. She got a problem with God.
Amen.
They just give, what, preacher, it could have been presented in a whole other way. You're exactly right, but was it not God's word? And so it wasn't necessarily, the way it was presented, yes, it could have been presented a different way. But see, we got this mindset that, oh, God accepts everything and God loves everybody and God's bring. God didn't come, or Jesus didn't come to bring peace, Brother Odin. He came to bring division. You know what the problem is right now? Is they want to believe that he's not real, but still, yeah, he abideth faithful. They want to try to say that he's not really here and that it's a big fairy tale, but he still abides faithful, even though they believe that, Brother Junior. And they want to say he's not involved in our churches, but yeah, he's still involved in the churches today. And let me help you real quickly right here. Jesus said, I am came to bring division. Go down on your job and start preaching Jesus. It won't take long, you'll upset somebody and you'll go before human resources. And probably what they're going to do, depending on how bad it is, Brother Edge, they're going to go. You say, preacher, do you know that? Yep, I've had it done. Both wrists. That's why I said the other day when I was going over our life, and I was about to say death insurance. They was going over life insurance, and when little Dennis got done or whatever his name was, he was presenting it, how we should take care of our family. I wanted to jump up and say, I can give y'all some death insurance. Let me tell you about Jesus. But I knew what would happen. I would have went, go. That's exactly what would happen. You want to cause a scene? Go out and start preaching Jesus. You want to be made fun of? Carry your Bible down here to the side of the road and start preaching Jesus. You want to see people get upset at Walmart and you get escorted out? Brother Matthew, take your Bible in Walmart and start preaching Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
You say, preacher, you're crazy. I tell you what, I've been called a whole lot worse, so if you think I'm crazy, I'm all right. Amen. Notice this. Jesus said, I bring division. He says there, in verse number 52, from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son. He said, I'm going to go as deep enough to tell you this, that your house is going to be separated. Father is going to be set against the son. He said, not only go that far, he said, but I'm going to tell you this. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. He says, when I come into your life, it's going to cause division in your household. I look around this morning, and I see some spouses sitting here by themselves. Y'all all right? I see some mom and dad sitting here without their children. I see aunts or grandmas sitting here without their children. They may have came to church here, but they're not faithful in church. I see a division taking place. Well, that preacher, he just preaches entirely too hard. Can I tell you something? It's not the preacher we have the issue with. It's God's Word. I made a post this week on Instagram, and I did it in the fact I would hear backlash. And the fact that some of those that I work with that are on my account follow me, I did it, Brother Chuck, because I knew they would come say something to me. You say, preacher, you posted something controversial? Absolutely. And I'm surprised there's some of you here that liked it. I was beginning to wonder what y'all were going to catch me on Sunday and say. But the post simply said this. Feeling offended at church. Anybody ever felt offended at church? You ever felt bothered at church? It says, it might be your sin and not the church. You know what the first response I got? A fellow got at his office that comes, and he came over to me and he said, what's that supposed to mean? I said, obviously you don't read. It did not say the church was not the problem. Brother Ryan, I know you read it two or three times. Did you read it? You ain't seen it, Brother Robbie, did you see it? But he said, what's that supposed to be? He said, are you saying the church is in the right the whole time? I said, you didn't read. It said, it might be your sin that is the problem and not the church. But he was all tangled up that he was in the right. Let me help you something this morning. There ain't none of us in here right 100% of the time. I love my wife and she's 110% right 100% of the time. But with God, she's still wrong. I'm still wrong. You're still wrong. You're still wrong. You're still wrong. We're all wrong in the eyes of God. And until we accept that, we'll never get help. He said he abides faithful. Even when our homes are divided, he's still faithful. I want you to notice what else he says. I've got to hurry this morning. I got hung up on that. But he also says the father and the daughter shall be divided. But I want to give you this. Acts chapter number 27. He is faithful in the midst of your storms. He is faithful in the midst of our storms. You ever been in a storm and you said, God, where are you? God, I can't feel you. If God really loved me, why would he allow me to go through this? Acts chapter 27 is a perfect example of God being faithful. Paul was on a ship sailing. He was a prisoner, Brother Tommy, sailing. He
told the men not to sail. But they chose to go anyways. The Bible teaches in Acts chapter 27, there arose a great tempest, Brother Joe, named Euryclidon, which is a great cyclone over in the sea. And it says as they was crossing over, it was getting worse. They were fighting. They were trying to drive the ship. They were trying to do everything. And it just kept going. And Paul stands up in Acts chapter number 27. He was God's man. Paul was one of the most decorated men of the New Testament times. You know why? He wrote almost 13 New Testament books. 13. Had God's favor on his life. I mean, he had his favor so much, he stayed in prison the majority of time. Preacher, I ain't going to prison. You keep standing for Jesus, you will. Paul wrote a lot of his letters, Brother Chuck, from a prison cell out. And he was God's man. And the Bible says that in the midst of that storm, Paul speaks up in Acts chapter number 27 and he says this. He said, be of good cheer. You know why he said be of good cheer? I'm paraphrasing this. He said, for this night, an angel, the Lord, stood by me and said, not a hair on your head is going to be hurt. Not a man's life is going to be lost. But for the ship, it's going to be lost. Everything on the ship's going to be gone. You know what? Sometimes it takes crashing your ship to see how good God is. I mean, it would have been easy in the midst of that storm, Brother Joe, to say, if God really loved me, why is he going to let us go through this? If God really cared about me, Brother Junior, why is he going to let us crash this ship?
Yeah, right.
You know what? Sometimes it's you who crashes your ship. God's told you not to move and you moved anyways. God said, wait, another door opened, and you went through the first door when he said go through the second door. You jump before God give you permission.
Yeah, right.
And you crash your ship. But you know what? Even in the midst of our storms, Brother Junior, God is faithful.
Yeah, amen.
I want to give you this, and we're about done. I've got two more points. The Bible teaches us he is still the good shepherd. Psalms 23 gives us a clear representation of Jesus being our shepherd and we are the sheep. Isaiah chapter 53 teaches us that we are all as sheep led astray. Do you know this morning sheep will scatter without somebody to direct them? You know what happens to a church without a pastor in it? It ain't long till people start wandering away. If the sheep has no shepherd, they'll get themselves into trouble. The herd will be split. He teaches us in John chapter number 12 that he is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, excuse me, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But what I find more infamous in Scripture that he abides faithful is number 5, which is a representation of grace. He says, if we confess our sins in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what amazes me this morning is no matter how bad I mess up, how many times, Brother Junior, I go down the wrong road, I'm going to tell y'all a little story. I was going to look at a piece of hunting land Thursday evening, Brother Chuck, up in Sparta. And Brother Tommy, we had came by it last year when we left the New River and visited and seen it where it was at. Brother Ryan thought it would be no problem to get back there. Go up 21 to 18. And they sent Anna the address for us to come up. And I'd want to go up there and see if I could hear turkey gobble and hear it roost. So Brother Matthew, we set out Thursday evening at 6:30 on this adventure. I was dragging my wife and daughter along with this hunting trip. Don't look at me like that. They weren't going to get up Saturday morning and go with me. I'm just going to be honest with you. But I wanted them to go. And so we get in the truck and we're heading up 21. And as we top the mountain there at Old Bow, Anna says, do you remember how to get there? And she said, well, they sent us the address. I said, well, plug it in your phone and we'll follow it to get there. Y'all ever seen the commercials where they're following the GPS and it says right turn ahead and you shoot off a cliff? You ever been there? You got a smartphone, you will. She plugged it in, and we're going up 21, and Brother Gwynn, it said, take a ride on Stoker Road. Ain't never been on Stoker Road a day in my life. We took a ride. He said, take a ride on Glade Valley Road. Took a ride on Glade Valley Road. I have no idea where we went from there. It said, turn right on Fox Ridge Road, Brother Ryan. We turned right on Fox Ridge Road. It said, dead end. And I said, just keep following it. It's going to got down there to the dead end. And it said, proceed to the root. There was a Christmas tree farm with a little pig path down the middle of it. Did you say, did you go down that preacher? Absolutely not. I didn't want bullet holes in my truck. Started back out, turned around, come back out. It said, turn right. It was a driveway going to a house. That wasn't where we was going. We decided to go back out to the main road. It said, rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. We're just going straight. I seen more land in Sparta and Allegheny County than I'd ever seen before. What took a 30-minute drive took an hour. Say, preacher, you're crazy. We got there. You know what I found out? All I had to do was go up 21, hit 18, like I'm going to 89, take a left on Pleasant Home Church Road, and the road's on the right on top of the hill. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Sometimes we get off the right path. Sometimes we know where we're supposed to be going, but we choose a different direction from somebody else. And in this Christian walk, there's a lot of preachers out here telling you need to do this, telling you need to do that, telling this is how you do it, telling you this is how you're supposed to. Let me tell you something. The one you need to get direction from is not the preacher, but from God. I love Brother Ponder down the road, but he's going to tell you 10 different ways to live your Christian life than I'm going to tell you. But what I'm telling you this morning is you need to ask God how you're supposed to live your life. If you'll get in the Word of God, your life will be what it's supposed to be. But you know what, Joe? Every now and then, we're going to go for an adventure. And that adventure gets us way off course. Still got to the same place. Took more time, took more energy, costed us more. You know what? That's what sin will do to you. But I'm glad if we're faithful to ask forgiveness, He's just and faithful to forgive us. Even when you mess up, He will forgive you. Even when you've done what you shouldn't have done, He's faithful enough to come back to you. You know what? This morning, I find more interested in that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He says, you know what? When I've got off course, when I've went the wrong way, when I've decided to take another route, he said, His grace is sufficient. You know what's amazing this morning here? Hey, sinner friend, listen to me. You may not know Jesus as your Savior, but you can leave here knowing because His grace is sufficient in this day and hour. You might be here and you're saved this morning, but let me tell you this. You walked away from God when you chose to do whatever it was you wanted to do. When you made the decision to live however you wanted to live, you may have walked away from God, but God was still faithful.
Amen.
And He's still faithful to forgive you. You may be here in a storm this morning. God's faithful with you.
Amen.
Whatever decision you chose to make this morning might cost you, but you're going to survive. Mm-hmm. You know what? This morning you might be here and your family's left you. Feel like you're all alone. There's some of you got up this morning. You didn't feel like you had anybody come to church with you. You didn't feel like you had anybody riding with you. You don't feel like you got anybody on the job site with you. You don't feel like nobody wants to associate with you. You know what? A lot of times at work, Brother Gwynn, I feel like I'm all alone. But you know what he says? I abide faithful. I'm still faithful. This morning, if you rode to church by yourself, Jesus rode with you to church. This morning, when you leave from here, Jesus will ride home with you. And guess what? The whole time you're here, He's still here with you. And you know what? Tomorrow morning or tonight when you go to bed, He's still with you. When you wake up in the morning, He's still with you. When you go to work in the morning, He rides with you. When you get out at the job site, He walks with you. And can I tell you this morning? He will be faithful.
Amen.
These people around you is going to let you down this morning. But God's still going to be faithful. Mm-hmm. Miss Jody comes this morning for a hymn of invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed.